Good morning and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown Atlanta. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. Whoever you are, whatever path brought you here today, please know that you are welcome and celebrated. So we know who you are. You're an individual expression of the divine life, which we all live. We welcome you and appreciate you being here. So we are glad you're joining us today and welcome to be part of this community in whatever way serves you. And so now we've got a declaration of principles, which is led by board members and practitioners.
I believe
in one God,
one absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love
and creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life
and the immortality of the individual soul
forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
All right, welcome back. And so we've got practitioners, and a practitioner is someone who's demonstrated the ability to use spiritual practice and spiritual laws to bring about great changes in their lives, and they have demonstrated that they know how to bring about these changes when others, when asked. Licensed by Centers for Spiritual Living, they're able to provide spiritual assistance, and you may contact them through the website at cslmidtown.org. Today, we have one of our wonderful practitioners with us to share good ideas and an affirmative prayer called Spiritual Mind Treatment. So welcome, Norma Roberts.
Good morning. Good morning to all. What a wonderful introduction. Before we go into our morning meditation, our morning treatment, I should say, I would like to share with you the message from the Science of Man magazine for today. I think it's a wonderful magazine, and I think the message today is very applicable because we are in transition. The title of it is Every Step of the Way is the Way. And it says, in the business world, keeping the faith longer than most is called tenacity. Before someone becomes successful, they may appear to others to be crazy, impractical, irrational. To succeed, you must do some things, though. You must hold your vision, even while others can't see what you see. The most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is merely tenacity. The fears are paper tigers. You can do anything you can decide to do. You can act to change and control your life, and the procedures, the process is its own reward. Keep the vision before you. Keep the vision before you more real than all the signs that say it's over. When you continue to put one foot in front of the other, in the direction of your vision, you'll come to experience your success as a result of many minor steps that's added together that creates your triumph. And this is the message I'd like to convey to all the members and friends of CSL, because we will be triumphant. We are headed in the right direction. So let's stop here now and join me in a morning meditation or morning treatment. Just take a deep breath. Just hold it for a moment to just relax your nerve. Be with me and listen to the words that I speak. Take as much with yourself as you can align with. And just listen. There is but one presence, one power, one activity. The presence, the power, and the action of God, the living spirit, almighty. It is right now active in me, through me, as that I am. I am surrounded by the Christ presence into which nothing negative can penetrate, and out of which only good can come. I right now claim the gentleness, the giant gentleness of God's hand upon CSL Midtown. And we know the way to go. I have faith that this divine presence, power, and activity manifests as greater finances in attendance than we could ever have thought possible before. While it is also circumventing, going around, canceling out all the roadblocks to our good. I have no concern for or fear of the future, for I know the Spirit of the Lord goes before me and prepares my way, even when there appears to be no way. Even when others says, it's over. God is. My faith is the key to abundant living. Therefore, I have faith. I accept and I believe God is in control now, and all is well. With great thanks, I release my word into the perfect outworking of the law. And I accept that it is so now. We let it be so. And so it is. Thank you.
All right. We have an awesome speaker this morning, Reverend Cynthia Paulson. She was recently ordained as a religious science minister after more than a decade of studying the science of mind, affirmative prayer, and spiritual healing. She's also a divine science practitioner, spiritual practitioner, and teacher, as well as an author of Undoing the Knots, Reclaiming Our Good. She's here frequently, and we love to have her with us. Thank you, and welcome, Reverend Cynthia.
Thank you, Vance. I am here frequently, not frequently enough. I love being here. So thank you for having me. You know, usually when we tune in here on Sunday mornings, we tune in and we hear about new thought, spiritual principles, lessons from the science of mind, obviously. And we learn how we can apply these things to our own individual life. We talk about how to use these principles for personal transformation. You've probably heard that CSL slogan before. We teach tools for transformation, right? For any area of our lives where we might want to see change and we might want to experience something different, something better. Areas like maybe our personal relationships, maybe we want more harmony there. Or our work and our career, you know, we might want more opportunity to share our gifts. Our financial abundance and our security, we might want to receive and experience more good, more prosperity. And we may be in need of a physical healing and desire a restoration of our health and wish to express our wholeness. These are some of the typical topics that we're used to discussing on Sunday mornings here. And we love it. And they keep us coming back. They're specific and personal to be applied individually for each one of us. So it's kind of about me, me, me. And in this instance, you know, that's okay. It's a great thing. We're transforming our lives. But today's topic, not so much. In this month of discussing giant gentleness, this week is not really about me, me, me. It's not even about you. Today, we're talking about us, as in the great big global us, humanity, the big picture. What is going on with humanity right now? Have you looked around the world lately? I consider myself to be a positive person, and it's not looking good out there. It's not looking very gentle at all. We see a lot of pain and suffering, poverty, disease, natural disasters, earthquakes, floods, tornadoes, climate things, corruption, greed, terrorism, violence, mass murder, human conflict, war. There is so much war right now. In fact, there's a website for the, I'm going to have to read this, the Geneva Academy of International Humanitarian Law and Human Rights. That's a mouthful. But they have a website, and these people monitor all ongoing armed conflicts happening right now around the world. They have a giant map on there, and they show you every place where there are people or factions or states or countries that are in conflict and actively trying to kill each other. So here's a question for you. How many armed conflicts do you think are going on in the world right now? More than 20? More than 50? More than 100? 120. There are 120 violent armed conflicts in various places in the world going on right now. That doesn't sound like gentleness, doesn't sound like oneness, doesn't sound like unity. The current events going on right now, and not just the war example, but all the other things I mentioned as well too, these current events are disturbing and negative and painful to look at. So, how do you all feel about that? I'm seriously asking you to pause and reflect for a moment and think about how you feel about the news as spiritually aware people. If you are tuning into this talk today, you're obviously spiritually aware and you likely believe in the omnipresence of a universal God. And you likely believe, excuse me, in the oneness and unity of humanity. So whether you're watching the news or reading it or listening to it, you know, maybe you're tuning into the nightly news on one of the broadcast channels every night, or maybe you're watching the daily 24/7 barrage of, you know, news on cable news channels, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, all of them. Maybe you've got NPR playing in your car on the way to work and on the way home. Maybe you're going to news websites or getting news on social media. That's a new trend these days. However you learn about these tragic news events, how do they make you feel in your spirit, mind, and body? I ask because sometimes spiritually aware folks can have sort of sensitive souls. We can be extremely sensitive to tragedies, pain, and suffering. For instance, have you ever seen, read, or heard a news story that made you sick to your stomach or lightheaded? Or one that made you cry? Or maybe one that you just couldn't get out of your mind? You know, maybe an image or a video footage you saw? Have you ever seen one that gave you nightmares? Here are some examples of events that have impacted me in those ways. The sheer volume of tragic pain and loss that occurred on September 11th, 2001. Maybe it impacted you that way as well, too. I, to this day, still can't watch the documentaries that they show on the anniversary. They give me nightmares. The heart-wrenching massacre that took place at Sandy Hook Elementary School, where so many children were violently murdered and some adults. I was sick to my stomach for days when I learned about that news story. And I would just randomly start crying. You know, I was a mom with children about that age. And I just took in that pain and felt that loss in my heart and soul, like so many of us did. I remember being very troubled by the news footage from both the big tsunamis that took place, the one in Japan, and prior to that, the big one in Indonesia. There were so many videos of that just everywhere. And it was just the shock of such a natural disaster taking so many people's lives in an instant. And as we move into this, you know, modern era of cell phones with cameras, they're everywhere. So now we have video footage of events that caused so much catastrophe. More recently, in October last year, there was that initial attack into Israel, where innocent young people at a music festival were attacked and murdered, and many of them taken hostage. It has since been reported that, I'm just going to phrase it like this, there were violent acts perpetrated on some of the young women who were captured. I think you know what I'm talking about when I say that. I couldn't read about that. I had to stop reading that article when I saw that. I don't want to believe that something that horrific could ever happen and be deliberately, intentionally carried out. And since that initial attack, the retaliation of Israel into Gaza has killed, as of a few days ago, over 33,000 innocent civilians. It's destroyed the country's infrastructure, including the food and water supply, and it's brought about a famine that continues to kill innocent people and children. Okay, enough of these examples. These tragedies don't jive with our spiritual truth, what we know to be true of the nature of life, our oneness, and our unity. There was a terrific talk given here last Sunday by Dr. Judy Morley. And if you missed it, CSL Midtown has a YouTube page. You should go to it and check it out. It was really good. She talked about how we can't just deny situations just because they make us uncomfortable. She reminded us that we have to process it and feel our feelings. So my question today, though, is, what happens when we read about or hear about or see these horrible, tragic things and the feelings we feel are too much for us to handle in our body, our mind, and spirit? That happens for some of us. That happens for me a lot. This sensitivity to the environment, and that's really what current events and news is. It's our global environment. This sensitivity to that environment, sensitivity to tragic events that impact humanity, is something that I have dealt with my whole life from the time I was young. And there was one specific moment, one example that I can give you that I have never forgotten. It's when I discovered and really began to understand that something was different about me and how I process these matters. It's when I realized that I'm not like the other kids. I was in my early 20s. I think I was a junior in college, and I was studying political science. And I had signed up for a night class with my favorite professor. And he was my favorite because he was hilarious. He should have been a stand-up comedian. He was very funny. And the class was called Holocaust and Genocide. Barrel of laughs, right? I don't know what I was thinking. So on the first night of this class, the professor said, "This class is very heavy and dark, and it can be very depressing, and it might not be for everyone." So he said, "If you have your textbook with you," which pretty much all of us did, he said, "get out your textbook, and for the next 5 minutes, All I want you to do is just thumb through the textbook and look at all the pictures and read some of the chapter headings so that you can get a feel for what we're going to be looking at in the next 16 weeks. So I took out my textbook and I opened it up and I started looking through the photos in this book. Now, I probably don't need to tell you what these photos showed. We all know what the Holocaust was and how gruesome it was. And these pictures were very graphic. So here's what happened to me in that moment. Let me describe it for you. I became so nauseated that I thought I was either going to throw up or pass out. My heart was pounding. I was sweating. And I could not control my tears. I could not stop myself from crying. So I'm sitting there in class having a full-blown panic attack. And I just knew I had to get out of there forever and not go back. And just then the professor said, again, this class is not for everyone. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. He had clearly experienced students in the past who could not handle their feelings when studying the Holocaust. He told us, hey, today's the first day of class and you get a free pass out of here. You can leave right now and drop the class. No questions asked, no judgment whatsoever, full refund. Just head on out the door right now. And you can bet I did. And I remember I mouthed thank you to him as I left. And I was the only one who left the class. That was a big moment in my life because it was the first time that I, you know, consciously paused and thought, wait, how can these other people possibly study this and look at this? And I can't. I physically feel like I can't. What is wrong with me? Now, I did not know until almost 20 years later that there's a name for this thing where you are so sensitive and can't handle learning about these tragic events. It's not a mental health condition. It's not necessarily a disorder because too many people have it. It is not a disease, but psychologists and psychiatrists consider this to be a personality trait. It's called HSP, which is an acronym for highly sensitive personality or highly sensitive person. Now, when you hear that, highly sensitive person, don't you just want to roll your eyes a little bit, you know, like, you're so sensitive, just stop being like that. That's the thing is we can't. People who have this can't. It's literally a trait of their personality, and as much as 20% of the population has it. Now, I'm not suggesting that all of us spiritual folks are highly sensitive people, but some of us might be. And even if you're not, stick with me because it's all connected. So what is it like living as a highly sensitive person? What are the signs that you may have this personality trait? Obviously, as mentioned, one of the biggest signs is feeling very upset watching or reading negative news or historical news in the media. That also includes watching, you know, shocking entertainment like violent or scary movies or TV programs. There are more signs. Highly sensitive people feel uncomfortable in large public crowds or when too many things are occurring simultaneously. It's too stimulating for them. This is why I can't go visit my stepson because he lives in New York City. I don't think I can handle going to New York City. Maybe someday. Highly sensitive people feel uncomfortable when exposed to bright lights, loud sounds, or strong scents, as in strong smells. There is no explanation for this. My husband can vouch for this. If he comes home from the car wash and he has put a new air freshener in the car and I get in the car, it's like I just lose my mind. It's got to go. It's got to get out. It's got to be thrown away out of the car and the windows rolled down. We got to air out the car. Can't have a smell like that. There's just no explanation for it. People with highly sensitive personalities startle easily. It's very easy to scare us. We're always gasping over the littlest things. People with HSP process information more intensely. They are often moved by nature, art, and music. Because highly sensitive people can more easily perceive the emotions of others, they're very empathetic. We are also sympathetic criers. If you cry, we're going to cry right along with you. This is where I think it gets spiritually interesting. Highly sensitive people have a rich and complex inner life. What does that mean? This is an actual documented sign of HSP from psychologists. They have a rich and complex inner life. What is our inner life? It's our thoughts, our beliefs, our consciousness. It's where our spirituality is. This is where I think I personally have benefited from having a highly sensitive personality. A rich, complex inner life helps us understand spiritual concepts. So whether you think you have HSP or not, most of us who study New Thought, science of mind, are very spiritually aware of energy. Ernest Holmes taught that there is only one universal life energy through everything that lives, that energy is in everything. There's only one energy. So when we know everything is energy and everything operates at a vibrational frequency, we know that unfortunate, tragic news events can impact our consciousness and potentially lower our vibration. I think that this is why a lot of my spiritual friends try to avoid the news altogether. We want to avoid exposing ourselves to pain and negativity. We don't want it entering our consciousness. But we still need to know what's going on in the world. So what are we supposed to do about balancing the pain of what's happening in the world that we're taking in and digesting and wanting to stand in the truth of our spiritual principle of oneness, unity, and divine love? Something to think about, because it's a balancing act. Life is a balancing act. There are coping strategies for highly sensitive people from psychologists who specialize in this. And I've read a lot about it because I have to function in the world. So I'm going to blend these suggestions with some spiritual advice for protecting our energy and our consciousness so that we can really embody these principles that we know and love. The first suggestion for HSPs is to set boundaries. You do not have to subject yourself to excessive amounts of negative news. You don't. Now, this is the boundary that I set for that. I get my news from internet news websites online, because when I do that, I am in control. I can skim headlines and I can choose what I want to click on and see and read more about, as opposed to if I just park myself in front of a TV news show or listen to a news radio program, they're going to just tell me the next story, one right after the other, no matter what it is. And I don't get to filter that. And I don't like that. But online, I can see a headline and decide, oh, I want to know more about that. Or if the headline is about something particularly horrific or gruesome, I can say, ooh, I know that that event took place, but I definitely don't want to know more details about that. Spiritually, we can not only limit the negative news we take in, but we can choose to view world events as a prayer request. We can consciously choose to respond with love, which we know love is greater and more powerful than anything else. Tragic situations happening in the world deserve our love. The second tip is to schedule breaks during the day. Psychologists suggest that highly sensitive people need to plan downtime during the day to help avoid overstimulation. They suggest things like taking a walk, resting, or, you know, relaxing in a warm bath. Now, obviously, those can be helpful things for any of us. But to me, the spiritual version of this would be to use your breaks for spiritual practice, making time to meditate, taking time to pray, taking a walk in nature, practice the spiritual pause to remember your truth. Highly sensitive people need to make a point to decompress mentally and emotionally. This one also applies to all of us. Now, psychologists suggest one way to do this is to deliberately include positive experiences, to look for things that elicit positive feelings. Now, this is great advice. In other words, look for the good. Look for the good news. It's also out there. It's out there along with the bad news. And it's helpful to balance the negative stuff we take in with positive. Not to mention, we know that what we focus on grows. So that's yet another reason to do that. If God is good and only good, and God is omnipresence, meaning God is everywhere, always, in all ways, all at once, then the good has to be somewhere. Find it. So if you are on social media, follow the uplifting, positive, good news. There are whole accounts out there where this is all they show, is the good things about humanity, the good stuff. You can follow me. I only post good stuff. I'm on, Facebook, Instagram, and I'm on the Tiki Talk. I don't know how long Tiki Talk will be around, but I'm on that as well. The last tip I want to share isn't really a tip as much as it's a reminder. So whatever your word for God is, you know, God, spirit, universe, source, infinite intelligence, one mind, one power, one life, whatever you call it, it is so much bigger than we can comprehend. The science of mind has big words to describe it. Words like cosmic, infinite, limitless, universal, eternal, absolute, all. In my very first class at a Center for Spiritual Living Center, I took Foundations of Science of Mind, and they really wanted to explain this, you know, how big it is. And the practitioner leading the class had one of those giant paper pads on an easel. And she asked us all how to describe and give the names for God, give, all the attributes, anything that pertained to God. And she just was making this giant list. And, you know, somebody would say love, and she would write love and put a little circle around it. And somebody would shout out divine, and she'd write divine and put a circle around it. And somebody would say Jesus, and she'd put Jesus and put a circle around it. So on and on. And we filled the page with all our names and thoughts about God. And then she drew a circle around the whole page, around all of our words. But she drew the circle with dashes. And she said, new thought, science of mind, teaches that the divine is both universal and infinite. It includes all these human thoughts and ideas that we might have about God. And while that circle included all of these things, it doesn't exclude. She drew it with dashes because it's permeable. It includes everything in the circle and everything outside of it that we might not yet know and understand about God. We don't know everything there is to know about God. I think that's an important thing to remember when we're looking at tragic current events and circumstances that impact humanity and human life. I saw a video online. It was David Alexander at SLCA in Atlanta. And he said, human life is not the center of the story. We are a part of the puzzle. We are not controlling everything. We are a part of something so much bigger. There's a quote from Ernest Holmes that says, there's something about you and me that is cosmic, universal, that stretches over time and space. Let us learn to think better of ourselves. So it's really important to remember that we are not these tragedies and conflicts and pain. When we are struggling with negative world events and we, you know, take the time to circle back to science of mind principles, that is when we remember that there's more to life than these circumstances. I mentioned earlier my experience with that Holocaust class. Attending that class was not mine to do. What was mine to do was to grow up and study and steep myself in spiritual principles so that I can teach others. Each one of us has to ask, what is mine to do? You're going to have your specific answer, so figure that out. But in the meantime, the only answer I think that applies to all of us universally is we lead with love. That is ours to do. That's the gentleness that we're looking for. We love ourselves and take care of ourselves as we process world events. We stand in our truth. We cultivate our spiritual practice. We use the principles we study. When we do this, it spreads out like a ripple effect. That's the energy that I spoke about. We become the energy of love, the energy of the divine. Well, this topic today kind of hit close to home for me, as you could tell. So if you are watching this live, I would absolutely love for you to join me on the Zoom link. I would love to hear your thoughts and how you feel about all of this. You go to cslmidtown.org, click on the Zoom link. There's a little password you can copy and paste. And I'll see you over there. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. That was a lot to take in. Thank you, Reverend Cynthia, for that message this morning. Sensitive souls. So that's it. So it's my turn to invite you to donate. Then we get awesome speakers, awesome topics, and your contributions help us bring this out to you and to the rest of the world. So if you would, you can scan the QR code, set up a one-time donation or multiple donations, or you can go to cslmidtown.org/donate. And let's say with me our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And so some announcements. We are looking for members who would like to work with us on the transition team to help with bringing a new minister to us in the future. We are working on attracting that, and it's going to take some work and some people to help us in that process. And so if you're called to do that, you can email to either the info@cslmidtown.org on the site or president@cslmidtown.org. Either one of those works, and we'll get the message to our board president so we can organize that and invite you into that. So we appreciate all of that. And the transition team is doing an awesome job of getting amazing speakers and coordinating the practitioners and doing all the things that we need to do for that. And speaking of next week, we will be in person and online at the Garden Hills Community Center. And Reverend Jean Bell from SLCA will be our minister next week. So we hope you come and join us with that and the potluck. We love to see your smiling faces and enjoy that. And like Reverend Cynthia said, after this, right immediately after this, we'll be over on the Zoom. Go to cslmidtown.org and scroll down to the bottom. There's a Zoom link and the little code to get in. So join us there. And if you would, there's our outgoing affirmation. So if you would say this with me, I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that flows through me, or that lives through me, and so it is. Have a great week, everybody.
There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it.